This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Still and untangling from the mess.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. I'm afraid we're not finished hearing about huge losses from the subprime crisis. This morning, Swiss bank UBS reported a record loss because of write-downs for bad loans. More than $4 billion for 2007. The subprime crisis damaged many banks across Europe, particularly Britain's Northern Rock. Now the UK government wants to change banking law. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The British government wants to prevent a banking collapse from hitting consumer confidence. That's what happened with Northern Rock. When it appealed to the Bank of England for help, word got out, triggering the first bank run in Britain in 100 years. Now the government's planning to allow the Bank of England to bail out failing banks in secret. Details would only be made public later once the bank had been rescued. Howard Wealdon of Brokers BGC welcomes the plan.
Runs on banks are not very common, thankfully. We want to ensure that it doesn't happen again. This legislation, I think, goes a long way to ensure that that will be the case.
Today, Northern Rock is propped up with $50 billion worth of taxpayers' money. And, say the critics, Britain's style of financial regulation has been discredited. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Wall Street seems convinced the Fed will cut interest rates today by a half point. That notion pushed the stock market higher yesterday. We had the Dow gaining 96 to 12,480. The S&P added 8. The NASDAQ also picked up 8 points. Asian markets were down overnight. Hong Kong slid more than 2%. And the major markets in Europe have edged lower. The Florida primary is now history. John McCain is the Republican front runner. Exit polls show voters were most influenced by signs of a faltering economy. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has more.
Nearly half the voters here rated the economy as the most important issue. Terrorism came in a distant second, cited by less than 20%. 9 of every 10 Democrats said the economy was in trouble. 63% of Republicans agreed. These voters were in Hollywood, Florida.
The economy is important to everyone. We all live in the same world. We all eat the same food. We all pay insurance a lot more in Florida, of course. I think we stand a much better chance with Hillary than we do with a Republican who has put us in this dilemma.
I want to vote Democratic, but I don't like their candidates, so I may go to John McCain.
There's a recession coming, and somebody's got to do something about it.
I voted for Huckabee. I like what he's talking about, building the infrastructure.
Who did you vote for?
Barack. He may be the best hope for our country. I think we need something different.
If our country goes down the tube financially, nothing else is going to make any difference, right?
Florida's electorate is much older than other states. Nearly half of both Republicans and Democrats are over 60. In Fort Lauderdale, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
This economic downturn, we know, started with the subprime crisis. Was it made worse by abuses in the mortgage system? The FBI wants to find out. Criminal inquiries have been opened into 14 companies. Investigators are looking into alleged fraud, insider trading, and other violations.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with more than 70 national patient organizations to educate and support patients and their families. Online at Medtronic.com. By LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
It's time now for the final installment in our series Plan B.
how we're adapting to global warming. Today, the focus is on the Arctic. Levels of sea ice there are the lowest since measurements started in 1979. NASA is predicting that Arctic sea ice could be ice-free as nearly as the summer of 2013. From the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin reports on efforts to save animals threatened by climate change.
We've all seen the movies and commercials with those adorable polar bear cubs. They swim like toddlers in an icy Arctic wonderland. Yeah, well, in the real world, polar bear cubs are starving. Last fall, University of Alberta scientist Andrew DeRoche observed 8-month-old cubs in Hudson Bay, the Canadian Arctic.
They're clearly in very poor shape. The mothers probably stopped nursing them. They were pretty listless and not showing a lot of energy, which is really atypical for cubs, which are normally pretty playful.
One of the reasons for this? The Arctic sea ice is melting. DeRoche says Canada's northern communities depend on the polar bear for tourism and hunting. Melting ice means bears have to swim farther to hunt or forage inland. He racked his brain for a solution until colleague and engineer Peter Flynn called.
What you do is go out onto the ice and pump a lot of water up on top of the ice.
Flynn would use 50-foot barges with windmills on them to pump seawater onto the existing ice. Thicker ice takes longer to melt. That would give the bears more time to hunt in the critical early spring.
Let's suppose for Hudson Bay we were going to start with 10 barges. So you'd be talking in something in the order of $25 million. Is it worth it?
Many biologists would say no, but whatever it takes is worth it to Wilfred Chevelle, a tour operator in South Africa. He designed and installed hundreds of fiberglass nests for penguins dying from habitat loss on South Africa's Dyer Island.
I must admit there was quite a few smirks and a few laughs when I started to come up with the idea, but the skeptical guys see it's working and there's now talk of going to other islands and other localities.
So far, Chevelle's project has cost $50,000. But what about the fish the penguins eat, or the seals hunted by polar bears? Many scientists say tinkering with one species can endanger another. But to Duke University professor Rob Jackson, if a species is close to extinction, we've already tinkered.
And for me, allowing species to disappear is much more disruptive than intervening, ideally in small ways, to save those species.
I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Our series Plan B was produced in conjunction with the Center for Investigative Reporting. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.